here. And we'll be going over this for the next, next couple of weeks, 2 more weeks, 3 weeks total. But it shouldn't be any surprise to us here that we need to dress accordingly for certain occasions, right? For instance, I wouldn't go to a job interview wearing the clothes that I cut the grass in. You know, I wouldn't go to a job interview with flip-flops on and you know, gym shorts and a tank top. I would want to dress appropriately, right? I would want my outward appearance to say, hey, I want to look good. Another example of that would be people who hold positions of authority. They dress in a certain way. We have military and law enforcement officers and dignitaries, and they wear uniforms. They are people in authority. And the way we dress, our outward appearance, without people even knowing who we are, can say to them, you know, this is somebody of importance. And I think for the most part, people want to make sure they look good, right? I mean, when I leave the house, I want to make sure that I look fairly decent. I used to not care, but I had hair down here, and I did go to interviews with flip-flops, and I didn't get those jobs because I didn't care. But it also says a lot about what we think of ourselves and those around us with how well kept we keep ourselves by what we wear, the clothes that we wear. And there's a passage in Ephesians chapter 6 that this series is based off of, and it speaks of the armor or the clothing or the attire that God provides for us. And it is referred to as the armor of God. And that's what this series is based off of. And I believe we have to be intentional whether or not we want to put that armor on every day. Because just like our clothes in the closet, that's where our armor sits if we're not intentional on putting it on. As Christians, spiritual warfare is not an option. And we better be ready for it. Every single person in this room, at one time or another, has had or will have a fight that you are going to face. And nobody can fight that fight except you. We can surround ourselves with like-minded people, other believers. We can become a part of a care group. You know, small groups, we call them care groups here. They are a part of the fabric of the Vineyard Church, because the Vineyard Church understands how important it is that when we leave the walls of this building, we are still connected with our church family. Being involved in a care group, I really don't think it's an option either, because you're isolated out there by yourself. When you're meeting with like-minded people once a week, twice a month, whatever the case may be, you can lift each other up, you can bear each other's burdens, and you can fight the fight together. Also, you can get prayer and support on Sunday mornings. But in the end, it's your fight. And the victories in Christ Jesus are what makes us stronger as we grow each day in His love. He has provided everything we need, but it's up to us to be intentional on whether or not we want to draw upon those resources. And most importantly, this is my favorite part, Jesus Himself is always willing to step in the ring with us. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, that to be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That is you, that is me. That is anybody who pledges their allegiance to Jesus Christ, He is after. And I think for a lot of people, the idea or the thought of Satan falls into one of two extremes. One extreme is they don't believe in the supernatural at all. Here in the Western world, in America, we don't, you know, we've got too much going on in our lives, and that's just the idea of an entity that could be so sinister. I don't like it. I'm not buying into it. Then there are those on the opposite end of the spectrum, where the devil is in everything that they do. That devil guy, oh man, I'm late for work again. Oh, well, it's Thursday and you've been late every day this week. You know, or that devil, he's gotten into my computer. I just can't get it to do anything. Well, let's take a look at that. Well, when was the last time you cleaned this thing up? You know, or that devil, he's done got into my refrigerator and it's on the fritz. Everything's ruined, food spoiled and everything. Oh, well, maybe we should get it repaired. How old's your refrigerator? 32 years old. Yeah. Do you ever meet anybody like that? I mean, the devil is everything, everywhere. But I think we need to use discernment when it comes to the biblical reality of how Satan and his demonic legions, who are alive and well on this earth, operate. There is a fine line. The devil isn't in everything, but yet then again, he is there. And Satan is the enemy of God because he cannot do anything to God. Therefore, he chooses to destroy that which is most precious to God, his creation, you and me. And with that being said, the question is, are we as concerned with our spiritual appearance as we are with our outward appearance? And what we're going to do today is we are going to read a passage out of Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at what we have to deal with out there. And then we'll touch on one of the pieces of armor that were provided. So if you could, if you have your Bibles or whatever, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. If you're familiar with this passage about the armor of God, sometimes I think that we skip those verses right there and we get right on into the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and all of that. But Paul is giving us an idea, i.e. warning, as to what it is that we are up against. So Paul, he's this guy who wrote most of the New Testament. He was a religious leader and he hated Christians. He persecuted them. There's a passage in the book of Acts where it says, he took them from their homes, dragging them from their homes, and tortured them to blaspheme Jesus. And then Jesus shows up in his life, changes him, and he ends up writing most of the New Testament. So he's writing this letter to the church of Ephesus, the Ephesians. And he's wrapping things up by saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Paul is saying, listen, after everything I've told you, and if you haven't read the book of Ephesians, it basically teaches you how to live a Christian life. He touches on the blood of Christ and the importance of that. He touches on spiritual giftings and how you can kind of hone in on those and where you can be a part of the body of Christ. He teaches on the grace and mercy of salvation. He teaches on the husband and wife's roles in a marriage. And he also teaches on children obeying your parents. It's important. But after all this, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul believed in the devil. The word wiles means schemes, strategies, conniving, crafty. Satan is always scheming and strategizing on how he can destroy God's creation. And he's been doing this for thousands of years. So he is no dummy in this area. And a few of his top strategic moves, here's the thing. They're so simple, but he's been honing them and crafting them and twisting them and changing them just a little bit for thousands of years that we're always caught off guard. One of them is he is a master at hiding behind the scenes. When he attacks us, we usually don't even realize that he's there. And I put behind the scenes in quotations because he's really just hiding in plain sight. And we might blow it off as, well, it was just a bad day. Well, that coworker didn't mean to say those things to me because, you know, they were just grumpy, didn't have their coffee. I didn't mean to fly off the handle. But Peter warned us that we have an enemy who's going about like a roaring lion looking for people to devour. And what better way is there than wreaking havoc in someone's life when they don't even know you're there? Or they're not even paying attention. Or they don't even acknowledge the fact that you exist. Another one is division. Divide and conquer. The devil knows that we need each other. Especially to overcome him. He knows we can't overcome him by ourselves. I mean, we can have victories. But when, as a Christians, as a body of Christ, when we join together, he is no match for us. But he will use whatever methods he can to split Christians up. Who do you think started the rumor mill? Who do you think keeps the gossiping churning in the churches? If I were a demon, where do you think I would hang out? Right here, where all God's people gather. I could catch somebody in the morning as they're arguing with their spouse or their family, and I could whisper in their ear. And I could whisper something about the other person or somebody they had a little spat about throughout the week. Or I could whisper something about their spouse or their children or whatever. I could get them distracted so that they wouldn't pay attention to the sermon, and all they would be doing is focusing on that person or whatever. I could get you to hang on one sentence in a sermon to the point that you are so offended you'll leave the church. And the sermon was about grace and love. I could cause division among family and friends and church members. I could cause division among the body of Christ, dividing and conquering a church little by little. And when we're not paying attention, we wonder why we're always bickering or talking or backbiting or gossiping. Why do you think there are so many passages in the Bible about walking in love? Somebody says something about me. Hey, did you hear what so-and-so said? You know what? I don't really care. I'm not going to let it bother me. Because I'm going to love on people regardless. I don't care. I'm not going to drink that poison and let it become who, and let it, you know, fester. Do not listen to those voices about other people when you want to talk bad about them. Because it's a lot easier to tear people down than it is to lift them up. You have to be intentional. Sometimes you have to find something about them that is good. But if you are intentional and you're walking in love and the power of Christ is in you, guess what? He's going to find something and he's going to point it out to you. And you're going to become best friends with that person. Another one, deception. Satan is deceptive. How do I know this? Well, the Bible tells me that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about false prophets and deceitful people among the body of Christ. Really? You mean there's deceitful people among the body of Christ? You mean there's people out there teaching false teachings and they're using the Bible? Well, that can't be true, could it? Well, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, you better watch out, because there is. Here's what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Well, that's not slick. You know, that whisper that you hear in your ear about somebody doesn't sound like a mean voice. It sounds like a loving voice. Because you're right about that person. If we do not read our Bible and understand the difference between false teachings and the truth, we will find ourselves in big trouble. And then, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Wrestle. Some versions say struggle. Flesh and blood, that's human beings. You know, this isn't a battle like the UFC. You know, this isn't mixed martial arts where we have the better tactic and we can outmuscle this person. That's not what this is about. This sounds to me more like hand-to-hand combat. Wrestle, struggle, that's one-on-one. And it's personal. It's a personal fight for each one of us. Our enemy fights to cause us to be proud instead of humble, divided instead of united, angry instead of self-controlled. Or maybe he gets us to hold on to a memory from the past that we can't shake. Or maybe he gets us to keep going back to these websites we should not be visiting. Or maybe it's emotional, depression, anxiety, addiction, sickness. Whatever it is, we have an enemy that knows how to hit us. And not only is it personal, it's supernatural. And it's something that he's been doing for thousands of years. Some of us have only been at this for a couple of years. 10, 20, 15, 30, 40, 50. We cannot fight the enemy of God like we would another human being. And I take this kind of fight personal. I take it personal because it's a fight that is aimed directly at me, my family, my friends, my church family. Trying to get me to stray from the life God has intended for me and causing division, strife, isolation, and whatever other tactics he chooses. And this is a supernatural fight against organized ranks and unseen forces. Listen to this. Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Do you think Paul's just like, let's see, what word can I use here? Oh yeah, this will scare him. Oh yeah, what about this one here? Yeah, throw darkness in there. Everybody's afraid of dark. Satan has organized rankings within his legion of fallen angels, and their goal is to destroy what God cherishes the most. That is what they do. And he feeds on pain and suffering. But there's good news in all of this. Our enemy is nowhere near as powerful as Almighty God. Because God is the creator, and our enemy is a creation. You see, he chose to rebel against God, and he got a third of the angels to follow him. God threw him out of heaven. Said, there, I've created earth down here. Why don't you go see how good you can do, big boy? Give it a shot down there. You're so smart. You know, this earth that we live in, this is his kingdom. We have nowhere near tasted how good heaven is going to be. And just the thought of that is something that keeps me just focused on Jesus. We need to think of your best day ever. Think of, I don't know, Magic Kingdom in Disney World. Well, it comes to mind. Think of your favorite place where it's so peaceful. And that is nothing compared to what heaven is going to be like. Absolutely nothing. But in the meantime, we're here on earth. And we just have to deal with the things that are here with us in the spirit realm. But unlike God and his Holy Spirit, our enemy can only be at one place at one time. God's Holy Spirit is all over the place, and he lives within us. Who do you think is keeping all this chaos from just the Holy Spirit? You know, in the book of Revelation, during the end, in the seven-year tribulation, when I don't even think we can conceive how bad it's going to be then. The Holy Spirit leaves. So you think it's bad now. We still have the Holy Spirit here and living within us. But Satan and his army of minions, I think from here on out I'll be referring to them as minions. That's why they do his bidding here on earth. This is his kingdom, so to speak. This is his world. This is where he dwells. And his strategies against us should not come as a surprise after reading this passage in Ephesians chapter 6. How can you just read this and then just go, oh yeah, well, I like it three or four verses down. It sounds a lot better, a little more positive. But if you have trouble, all right, if you're sitting here thinking, you're really blowing us out of proportion, man, this spiritual stuff, it's really not that bad. Come on, my life isn't that bad. Well, okay, then how about John? He wrote the Gospel of John, then he wrote three more letters in the back. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, and I'm going to quote from the New Living Translation. He says, "We know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one." So either you can take a Sharpie and black that out if you don't believe it in your Bible, or you can say, uh-oh, you know what? Paul said something similar to this. With everything we're talking about today, here's something that we must understand. Is the devil and his minions cannot read our minds. As much as you think they can, they cannot read our minds. They've been doing this for thousands of years, though. They can plant thoughts and they can cross our paths and get us to cuss at other people and do all kinds of things. But they are limited. And we have God's Holy Spirit within us. God has provided us with everything we need to stand strong in His Word. And so what we're going to do here, kind of in closing, is we're going to take a look at the first piece of armor that's provided for us. And this is in a little bit further in verse 14. And actually, there's two pieces in verse 14, but we're just going to look at the one. It says, "Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth." New Living Translation says, "Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth." That's the first piece of armor we have. And if we want to dress for success in God's family, that's the first thing we need to put on. A belt. So this armor right here also is a description of the Roman soldier. Because at the time, that was the biggest, the strongest army. And that's what Paul used. Paul was in prison by the Romans a lot, so he probably looked at a lot of them and was drug around by a lot of them. So he's probably thinking, well, you know what? These guys aren't that nice, so why don't I use this? Or these guys have a lot of armor, so why don't I use this? The belt was very important to the Roman soldier because it held his sword and it held other equipment that he needed in battle. And then they wore this thing, we'd call it a robe, but it was more like a tunic. So when he cinched that belt up, he didn't have any loose-fitting clothing, and he was ready for battle. He's got his sword, he's got everything else he needs. I don't know, canteen, not binoculars, but whatever. And here's the thing, just like me, without a belt, my pants will fall down. I cinched it up. My wife says, "Why don't you just buy a size smaller?" And I say, "Why don't I just cinch the belt up a little tighter?" You say tomato? Also, it was necessary for the Roman soldier to engage in battle, to have his belt cinched up tight, and to be ready to go. And it's the same comparison for us as believers in Jesus. We need a belt. We need the belt of truth. You know, years ago, I was teaching elementary children back in the space station. We did this Armor of God series. And so, you know, elementary kids can't comprehend robes and tunics and, you know, belts and stuff. So I came up with this idea. The old Western movies where they have the belts and they've got their bullets, you know, in their belt. So the belt of truth, the Bible is the truth. So when you read the Bible, right, you have certain passages that you'll use in certain times of your life because you've read it, it's a living, breathing word, and it's in your spirit. And when you need that scripture, it comes out. So think of having the belt with little scrolls of verses all in there, and then you're ready. It's stuck with me, so I don't know where those kids are right now, but somewhere there's a kid in college going, "That devil!" If we are not rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word, our lives as Christians are meaningless. You can come to church here on Sundays, you can sing the songs, you can raise your hands, you can feel good, you can leave here, and you can go home, you can go to work for five more days, enjoy your Saturday, come to church again. If you're not reading the Bible, you're going to get beat up. If you're not reading the Bible, you're going to wonder why you're struggling. And you're going to feel like the devil is in everything because you're fighting a losing battle. I really encourage you, get in the Word. Get to know it. And make it personal with God. This is how He speaks to us. You know, when I was talking about earlier, somebody said, you know, there's people here that really need to hear this. And during that song, I had faces, you know, and this message is, I mean, there's for those of you that I, you know, there's an anointing that's falling on you today. And some of you also. And some of you, I'm praying that you just get this. You're like, oh, wow. I need to read the Bible. It sounds so simple, but it is how God speaks to us. And if we're not rooted in it, our lives are meaningless. You know, what's the most important thing about truth? It doesn't change. It doesn't change. If you have a hard time telling the truth, you've got all kinds of different versions of the same story you got to keep straight for different people, right? But if you're only telling the truth, what do you got to remember? The truth, that one story. It cannot be challenged with success because the truth is undeniable. And everything about God is the absolute truth. He cannot be improved. He cannot be perfected. He is perfect just the way he is. Each one of us in this room, I don't care what you think of yourselves, Jesus looks at you and says, you are perfect just the way I created you, because I created you. I created you with those emotions. I created you with those characteristics. I created you with everything in your being because that is who I love. And that is who I want to build up. And that is who I want to step in the ring with. And that is who I want to see succeed. And that is who I want to see bring others along with them in this Christian life. Don't let the enemy beat you up because of your whatever. You are perfect, made in God's image, and he loves you as if you were the only one on this earth. Amen? The Gospel of John says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Before I knew the truth, I was not free. Captive, bound, oppressed. And I'm as free can be now. I love life. If I have a bad week, it doesn't matter. I have a beautiful wife, a great family, a God who loves me. When Satan disguised himself as a serpent to Eve, okay, the first thing he did was get her to question the truth of God's word. God said, I've created this garden for you, Adam and Eve. All these animals, all these beautiful trees and plants, everything of it you can eat of, all of it. But just don't touch that tree over there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything else, just don't touch that one, all right? Yeah, okay, fine. Long comes that crafty serpent, Satan, and he says to Eve, did God really say, don't eat the fruit of that tree? I mean, the fruit of that tree is like 42 degrees and juicy. That tree's different. Did he really say, don't? And she said, God said we cannot eat of that tree. And he said, yeah. He said we'll die if we eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's how important this was, that God said, please, just listen to me. Listen to me on this one. Just this one thing. Eve responds to the serpent and says, yeah, he said, we'll die. We'll die if we eat the fruit of that tree. Satan says, you're not going to die. He doesn't want you to eat the fruit of that tree because your eyes will be open and you'll be just like him. Oh. Well, I thought he said we shouldn't eat of that tree. No, that's not what he said. He just doesn't want anybody to be as good as him. You know, Satan tried to overpower God. He was jealous and he hates God. And we know the rest, right? He got Eve to eat from that tree and then Adam. If you know your Bible, you will not be swayed by every false teaching that comes your way. There was a warning in that, right? False prophets, deceitful people among the brethren. If you are in God's word, and then somebody comes up to you and says, hey man, I've been reading this book, it's really cool. And you can say, no, that's not what the Bible says. Satan's been twisting the truth of God's word ever since the very beginning. Jesus knew this because before Jesus started his ministry, he went into the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan himself, by the way, when you think like the devil's after you and coming after you and everything, you know what? We're really not that important to him. He's got bigger things on his mind. That's why he sends his minions after us, the powers and the principalities and things like that. We live in a supernatural world all around us. And I think if our eyes were open to that, half of us would just freak out, run, and hide under the covers. Satan tempted Jesus three times. He even twisted scripture around. Every time, what did Jesus combat him with? He didn't say, "Why don't you just get out of here?" He didn't say, "You don't belong here. I'm about to start my ministry. Leave me alone." No, he quoted scripture. That's all he did. He didn't cuss him out. He didn't scream. He didn't throw a fit. He didn't run away. He didn't blame anything. He quoted scripture. That was it. Because he knew that Satan couldn't stand up against the truth. Why do you think it's so hard for us to find time to read the Bible? In America, our lives are so busy. We're on the go from sun up to sundown. We have to carve out a little bit of time in our lives to relax, spend with God, and read his word. The devil doesn't want us to read this word. It destroys him. He cannot stand up against it. Every life situation and temptation can be fought and figured out by reading God's word. Everything in life. Amen? I'm fired up. So here's the thing. The first step to winning this battle is for us to know God's word, to memorize scripture, and to deal truthfully with those around us. As Christians, if we want to dress for success, the first thing we need to do is know and understand what we're up against. And Paul tells us, John tells us in one of his letters, we have an enemy out there who wants to destroy us, and he will use any means possible. But God has provided us with all we need to succeed. And the first thing that we need to do is put on this belt of truth. The truth is God's word, and the enemy cannot stand up against that. And so the next Sunday or two, we're going to be going through the different gears of armor that we have. Some of you will come in here with it on, ready to go. Some of you will have some pieces on, and some of you will go home and dust them off and get ready to put them on. You know, we're all in different places in life, but I want to encourage you to use the next few weeks to read Ephesians chapter 6 and just meditate on it a while and get to know and understand, number one, what we're up against, and number two, what God has provided for us. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much. Jesus, you are the absolute truth, and you have provided us with everything that we need to succeed. And everybody in here is in a different place. I know there's some in here that are like, man, I just wish I had an ounce of energy to fight this. There are some in here that are just like, bring it on. And there are some in here that are just like, the light bulb went off. I know it did. Oh, this is why I'm going through all this. I haven't been paying attention. I haven't been reading God's word. Everything we need is in his word. It is living. It is breathing. It is our life source as Christians. So my prayer is that during worship here, Holy Spirit, we invite your presence. God, that you would come and you would meet us. That you would fill us with your presence, God, like no other. Jesus, I just see right now, there is armor being put on you guys. There is armor that hasn't been worn in years. There is armor that is fresh and shining and brand new for some of you. And some of you, Jesus is just going, you're looking good with that. You've been wearing it. I'm proud of you. I bless that. As we worship, God, strengthen your people today. Fill them, God, so that we can walk out of here, Lord Jesus, knowing that we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. Wow, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we pray all these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen. All right, at this point, we'll have our ushers come up and we'll take off that. Can we have our prayer team come up to the sides here? So, you know, as I was praying after the sermon, I just saw armor coming down. And as I was worshiping, I saw angels, you know, shaping and molding and fitting this armor to fit you. Anybody else, you know, God has so much in store for us. There is armor being fashioned for each one of us today. We will walk out of here better people if we recognize what we're up against in the world. And if anything else speaks to you, or you need prayer for any other ailments or job related, or you know, you just want God to touch you, please come up and get some prayer. We'll sing one last song here, and you know, may the Lord bless you.
Let's just continue to worship the Lord. Let heaven come. Let heaven come. Let heaven come. Let heaven come. We want your kingdom. Your glory here. We need your kingdom here. We need your glory here. We need your kingdom here. We need your glory here. We need your kingdom here. We need your glory. Oh, holy, holy, holy. You're holy, holy, holy. You're holy. The glory.